Welcome to Haunt Topic Radio, the podcast for haunters by haunters. These are our scary visions.
I think it's really, really important with HauntCon, especially because it is a smaller, more intimate show. You get the opportunity to speak with people who have an incredible amount of haunt experience. You know, you mentioned earlier that we have over 100 years of haunt experience amongst the four of us. You multiply that exponentially when you go to something like HauntCon, because there are people there who have done it for, you know, even if it's just 2 or 3 years, they're still adding to that cumulative total. And the best way to learn is to just hang out with those folks. Yes, do the seminars, get a chance to see who you really like, and then find them later, because almost everybody is willing to sit down and talk to you, whether it's on a bus to go see another haunt or at the bar in the hotel. So I think that the personal connections that HauntCon offers is probably the most beneficial for me.
Hello, haunters of the world. Happy 2017. We hope your 2016 was awesome and that your 2017 will be even better. And what better way to start off 2017 but with a haunted attraction convention? First one of the year, HauntCon 2017, will be in Nashville, Tennessee on January 26th through the 30th at the Sheraton Music City Hotel and Conference Center. If you are familiar with HauntCon, HauntCon is a traveling haunt show. They go around to different cities. They choose different haunted attractions to tour. They have a 2-day pre-bus tour, and they also have haunt tours during normal operating hours on Friday and Saturday as well. I attended HauntCon last year, 2016, in Alabama. Had an excellent time. I drove from Missouri down there. It was about a 12-hour drive. Me and my brother went. We took advantage of all the educational tracks that we could squeeze in. We got to meet some of our friends that we hadn't seen, had never met. Attended the costume ball. We're in the hospitality suite every night, which is kind of a HauntCon secret. So always look for the hospitality suite. There's usually a sign in the convention that says hospitality suite and what room it's in. But inside the hospitality suite, there are other haunters and haunt owners and scare actors, and usually free alcohol and booze and food. So go check that out if you're going to HauntCon this year or any year. So instead of getting Leonard Pickle on like we have in the past, who is the founder of HauntCon, we're getting two presenters and attendees that have been there many times. We're talking to Scott Swenson from Scott Swenson Creative Development, and his last big attraction was the Vault of Souls in Florida. And we're talking to Todd Patton from Ruby Falls Haunted Cavern. Both Scott and Todd have been speakers at HauntCon. They have been attendees at HauntCon, and we get their opinion and their feedback on HauntCon and other trade shows that they've been to. Not only do we talk about HauntCon, we discuss many other topics like why local haunted attraction competition is a good thing for your business, what benefits can be gained from attending haunt conventions and shows, and some marketing ideas for your haunted house or Halloween event. A lot of other little gold nuggets that you'll just have to tune in and listen to. Other things going on at HauntCon are other educational tracks. They have a track for actor training, haunt business, creative, escape rooms, and live demonstrations. They also have their annual costume ball, a garage sale where you can bring your items or buy items from other haunters. Of course, their trade show, their networking events. Their haunt tours include Haunted Hell, Nashville Nightmare, Slaughterhouse, The Haunted Hospital, Raven's Cross Haunted Village, Skeleton's Lair Scream Park, Devil's Dungeon, Clarksville Zombie Hunter. Plus, I think they're throwing in the Froggy's Fog Warehouse Tour, where you get to go see where Froggy's Fog is made, which Froggy's is one of the best in the industry. And their scents are really cool too. So if you want to make your haunted house smell like crazy, froggiesfog.com. We're going to postpone our interview with me and Daryl about our haunted season next time. We wanted to try to get this HauntCon episode out. Plus, you will find some awesome tips and advice from Scott and Todd as they talk about their haunting experience over the years and some of the business decisions they've made. And please, if you haven't signed up for our email list, go over to haunttopic.com/subscribe. That will take you to our email form. Just enter your email address and push send. Get automatically signed up to our email newsletter, which we send out new podcast episodes and any kind of updates we have going on this time of year. We also play a couple of tracks from Midnight Syndicate's newest CD, Zombies Board Game, which came out September 8th. So we're going to play a couple tracks from their new CD soundtrack. Of course, to buy their tunes, go to midnightsyndicate.com. And if you need more information about HauntCon 2017 in Nashville, Tennessee, go to hauntcon.com. Those dates are January 25th through the 30th. 25th is being the pre-bus tour. The convention does not open until the 26th. So sit back, relax, enjoy this interview and conversation with actually over 100 years of haunting experience between four of us in this podcast. Our interview with Todd Patton and Scott Swenson on Haunting and HauntCon.
Before we get into really talking, if each of you guys just want to do an intro of yourselves, because I'm sure that many of our viewers or listeners have heard of you guys, but just in case there's some that don't, Scott, do you just want to give us a couple of seconds of who, what, where, why, and when?
Sure. Well, I'm currently the creative director for my own company called Scott Swenson Creative Development, LLC. And prior to that, I was the creative director for Howl a Scream at Busch Gardens in Tampa. I did that for its first 15 years, writing probably over 30 different haunted houses and casting them and putting them into play. And then after leaving there, as far as the haunt industry goes, I did a little thing in the Tampa called the Vault of Souls, which was an interactive, very elegant, high-end haunt experience. And I've done seminars at pretty much every haunt convention on just about anything that has to do with the haunt industry. So,
excellent. Todd, you want to give a crack at the bat too?
Oh, sure. I guess mine starts about the same. About 25 years ago, started doing the haunt stuff, acting, and then got my own haunt in Memphis, and then had one in Nashville for a little while, and then moved to Chattanooga, and Ruby Falls Haunted Cavern, they took us up, and so we've been doing that for the past 11 years, and we have our own company called Fear Connection, and we do a little bit of actor training and helping remold and do things with people's haunts, especially considering we're probably the only haunt I know that's 26 stories underground, so there's a lot of different things we have to deal with, and I think we're the only haunt that has to build it in 2 weeks and tear it down in 2 days, so it's definitely a big ordeal and a lot of orchestration there for us, and same with Scott. I've talked at Transworld, HauntCon, Eastern, or National Haunters, all the conventions around, and various topics from sliding to actor training to retheming, and plus how to logistically set up and tear a haunt down that quick, because most haunters aren't usually known for their speed.
Speed? Yeah, we need more time and money, man. That's all we need.
It's all about time and money.
I tell people that every year. I go, can you imagine if I actually had my own building? Because look what we can do in 2 weeks, and all. So yeah, it would be a horrible hot problem to have my own building.
yeah, it'd be a tough problem, huh?
It's a double answer.
Yeah.
One of the things I just realized when you guys were mentioning it, you know, how long you guys have been in the industry. Between the four of us, we have well over 100 years of haunted attraction experience. This isn't just trick-or-treating as kids, folks. These are people that are acting and producing and scaring the living shit out of people. Right on.
Yep, and a lot of them. I know Scott's done it a lot, because he got a good chance to work with Robbie. I love Robbie. And I've got to work with a couple projects.
Yeah, Robbie's amazing, and it's really wonderful because, you know, the whole Busch Gardens team back in the day, so many of them have gone on to various and sundry other things. But when we were scrapping and scrounging, you know, people think that in the theme park you don't have to work. You just have to do the thing is you're not doing just one haunt. You know, we had to produce at least six different haunted attractions plus all the Streetmosphere.
I was getting into what Scott was saying because I came to your show, I think, 2 or 3 years straight back. Oh, gosh, it's been about 12, 13 years ago. And I told Robbie then, I said, I would rather come here and go to Universal Horror Nights because it's a better show, you know. And I guess it was back at the time. So, yeah, I just always thought y'all's show was a lot better than theirs.
Well, we had a lot of fun. I mean, no, and those guys are all, I mean, those were all buddies of mine, too. We used to escort them around our show, and we'd go to theirs. The thing was, back in the day, you know, that was back when, you know, Roddy was still involved. We still had Michael. You still had Kim Grommel. You had some really wonderful people working there and some very creative minds. And, you know, the two shows were very, very different. One was always focused on scenic and intellectual property. And then we didn't have the money to buy the brands at the time. So we went ahead and focused on the actors and coming up with new and different creative stuff that hopefully scared people. That was our goal.
Right. No, and honestly, I mean, and see, I'd prefer a haunt like that. We're very actor-driven. We have, you know, our haunt is small when you look at the comparison of these other big haunts, and we usually have, you know, 60, 65 employees in basically 10,000 square feet, you know, and most people would never dream of having that many people, you know. So,
and it's interesting because actor per square foot, that's about what we did with Howl & Scream.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and I totally agree with that theory. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different, because a lot of these guys out there, I mean, they have 50,000 square foot haunts and have 60 actors.
Right.
Yeah.
You've worked in little haunts. You've worked in big haunts. What are some of the differences between them? You said, you know, like in the parks, you still have to scrape things together. You've got a budget. It might be a little bigger than some of the places have, but you still have to scrounge, and you can't spend every dollar on everything that you want. So give us a little bit of the differences.
Well, good haunt theory applies no matter how big or small your haunt is. I mean, basically, you're there to tell a story. You're there to take the guests on a creepy journey and hopefully scare them along the way. So you really have to go back and apply the basics to everything. When we started researching Howl & Scream, and then I also continued to expand on that in Vault of Souls, and then this past season I just wrote a haunt that I never got to see for Valley Fair up in Minneapolis. And it all goes back to the same thing, telling a good story. So whether you're telling a story with high-end pyrotechnics and great video effects, or whether you're telling a story with a candle and a flashlight, I completely agree that it's actor-based, and you have to take the guests on a journey. So I guess that's the similarity between the large haunts and the small haunts. I think the challenge is sometimes it's easier for me to work with a smaller haunt because I can really focus. You know, on the larger haunts, you have to really spread yourself so thinly that it gets really challenging for one or two people to kind of get an overall grasp of, is everything working the way it's supposed to? In the smaller haunt situations that I've dealt with, it's really easier for me because I can stay laser focused on, you know, that little detail isn't quite where I want it, or that actor's not exactly doing what I hoped they were doing, or this one little lighting effect isn't working the way it's supposed to. So that's kind of been my experience.
And I totally agree with you. I think character development is one of the things that we stress the most with our actors is, you know, why is your character in this hallway? What are they thinking right now? So don't just go, or whatever. What are they thinking? You know, I mean, are they the victim? Are they the actual guy that controls that hallway and not supposed to let them through? I mean, that kind of stuff. And so we go into detail about that. But, I mean, totally, I think the biggest challenge today is trying to find the people that actually have the passion to do what we do, because there's a lot of guys out there just now making a check, and it's totally different from what, you know, when I first started. I mean, I could make a couple of calls and have a truckload of people pull up and want to help out, and now, you know, how much am I going to make? And then, you know, and then they're usually your worst actor anyway. So it is a totally different deal now in trying to find good actors, you know, even with auditions, you know, they may be good for that audition, but then, you know, halfway through the haunt, you catch them slacking, and, you know, and like I tell them, I said, man, you're reflecting me, the haunt, everything here, and so that's the reason I usually don't even act, but maybe 6 nights out of the year, just because I don't feel comfortable and make sure that everybody's doing their job.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because actually for HauntCon this year, I'm doing a class called Do I Have to Audition? Yes. And it's all about casting, finding, training, rewarding, and maintaining a cast of actors, because actors can make or break your haunt. You know, you can have the coolest special effects in the world, but if you've got crappy actors, you're done. So you've got to find people who, as you say, are passionate, and that's really hard to find. And one of the things that we're going to actually deal with in the seminar is how to keep them passionate. So it is an ongoing challenge, and I agree with you. I think it's getting harder and harder each year. There's a very different work ethic with a certain age demographic right now, and that's why I have a tendency to cast older people in my haunts, because I like to create characters that have a little worn quality to them. They have a little weather on them. You know, they've been around for a while. And no matter how good your makeup artist is, it's much better to cast somebody who has a little experience showing on their face, like mine.
Got a few extra lines. You know, somebody that is barely out of puberty and attempting to grow a beard versus somebody that's got some old growth forest hanging on their chin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you guys have been to this haunt or one of them like it. And like I said, I'm not mentioning names, but when you walk around a corner and there's a 12-year-old with a Freddy mask and a Freddy glove on, and he jumps out at you, and you're sitting there looking at him going, dude, you're like, you know, 5'2". You know, this is really bad, you know. And I mean, and that's how I got started in the haunt industry, because I went to a haunt and I was like, oh my God, that guy's smaller than me. And I was 16, you know, and I'm sitting there going, well, dude, I need to work here. And I went up to the guy and I'm like, dude, I could do so much better than these guys, you know. And I mean, and so that's how it kicked off for me. But it was just a fact of, I was like, oh my God, and people are paying money to come through here, you know.
Exactly.
And I said, I'll do it for free. You don't even have to pay me, man. Give me a slice of pizza. I'm good to go, you know. But that's what I tell people all the time. I go, man, you guys are getting paid for this. I don't remember getting paid until I was probably 21, you know, and that was when I started my first haunt, my haunted hayride. And I said, that was the only time I ever saw any money. And I said, you know, it'd be nice if I got paid for the first 5 years I was doing this shit. So yeah, it's neat when you find that.
Yeah, it's kind of like your spin on things. I've kind of followed you at Hong Kong and some of the other podcasts you've done talking about your story. And I kind of talked to you there at the show a little bit. Kind of really
right.
How you did the minimal marketing and you kind of made less more and you brought. How did that work out for you this year? Did it do as you thought it was going to go?
Well, I'll tell you, the guest response was phenomenal this year. And we were able to get some things, you know, as with any haunt, the more you do it, the more you can polish the diamond. You can find, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what can we do better. I've always said improving a haunt is really, really simple. It's a start, stop, continue mentality. Start doing things you're not doing that you should be. Stop doing things you are doing that don't work. And continue doing things that you are doing that are working. You know, it's not brain surgery, it's the haunt industry. So it's real easy to make those kinds of decisions. However, you have to go through a whole season in order to figure that out.
And Todd, so you are actually setting up and tearing down your haunt in how many days?
Setup's usually 2 weeks because Ruby Falls has a huge weekend because, you know, they're a tourist attraction that's only closed 2 days out of the year, which is Christmas Day and I can't remember, maybe it's Thanksgiving Day. It's only 2 days that they're closed. And so it's a natural waterfall that you go see. So Labor Day is a huge weekend for them. So we can't start till the Tuesday after Labor Day, and then we open up the last weekend of September, and that includes training all of our employees and everything. And so it's usually 2.5 weeks sometimes, you know, but by the time you get everything set up and all, because we're setting up basically in a 10,000-square-foot parking lot and then the cave that we have to construct too. So, and then usually we have about 2 to 3 days to get it out of there. Because they turn over for Christmas literally while we're taking the Halloween stuff out.
Scott mentioned that he had to stand out amongst some of the other competition and they used a different tack for their advertising. Do you have a lot of competition in the area, other haunts? And if so, how do you stand out? How are you different?
We used to have competition, but they're all pretty much gone now. I hate to say that, but Ruby Falls, of course, like you said, they're marketing year-round and all that. It's a national attraction, so they have that reach that's kind of out there. When they hired us on, we kind of upped the bar. It's you know, there's only one other haunt. People are going to go to all of them because the big question they ask every haunt when they go to them is when they're walking out, where's another good haunt at? You know, yeah. I don't care. Even coming out of ours, they'll ask us that question. You know, hey, where's there any other good haunts at? And we usually point them toward Atlanta or Nashville at this point. We're all in it together. It's just, like I said, just like McDonald's and parties and all these people. It's just people during Halloween are going to go to haunted houses. And there's, you know, at least 3 to 4 weekends they're going to do it. So,
yeah, I could not agree more. I think that's a very important point. And that is the fact that so many haunts don't get the fact that we all share an audience. And it's not like these are my loyal patrons or your loyal patrons. We all share a haunt audience. And the more we can help them and make it easier for them to go from haunt to haunt to haunt, the better it is for all of us. So yeah. this whole competition and I'm not going to talk to you or I'm going to rip down your posters, that doesn't make any sense at all to me. Because to me, that's just bad business for them.
Exactly.
And one of the things that you talked about earlier, Scott, was how, you know, if you got to scare them and all. And I tell my actors all the time, I go, look, be memorable. So if you can't scare them, you might be able to do something to make them laugh. Or that one person that got scared, you know, just kind of throw a little, you know, oh, that's right, I'll be under your bed later tonight. And I said, that's one of the things that my character will say when he's in the key line, when there's some girl who's scared. And I said, because people will remember that. Or if they got some kind of a comeback, you know, you think of comebacks that you can say that are tasteful, but it makes the whole group go, did he just say that? You know, or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, so if you can entertain your guests, that is what we're there to do. You know, yes, our goal is to scare them, but if there's certain people you can't scare, but at least if you can keep them entertained, they're going to remember that.
Well, in the end, isn't that what most customers are really looking for, is to be entertained?
Yeah.
Yes, some are to be scared. You know, it's nice to have those funny characters that are a bit of comic relief. But if your customer goes out and remembers you for whatever reason, as long as it's not overly negative,
right,
then it's a success, especially if they tell two friends. It's like, that was the funniest, or that was, you know, this guy scared me so bad that I peed myself. You got to go.
And I think totally that Scott is on the right track, because if you ask most of the people that come to our haunt, even, I mean, yeah, they may have seen the billboards and stuff, but the reason they're there is because of word of mouth. Or, hey, you know, I came last year and we had a good time. And, you know, and so even when I'm riding on the bus with people, I don't tell them who I am, but I'll just kind of go, hey, man, did you enjoy it or whatever? And they go, oh, yeah, we've been coming every year for the last 10 years or whatever. And I go, well, why did you start coming? Well, we heard it. You couldn't miss it. You know, something cool and all that, throwing you down 26 stories underground is kind of cool thing anyway, you know, because that's total, because there's no way out. I tell people all the time when they're in the cave and they start having a panic attack, and I'm like, dude, there's only one way out. Just keep moving. Because we don't have an emergency exit. So it is, you know, one of those situations. But, I mean, I totally believe in what Scott's doing. I think it's a smart idea, because word of mouth and the guerrilla warfare marketing, to me, is honestly more enhancing to me than these poor guys who I've seen commercials and websites that look amazing, and you go to their haunt and you're kind of, you know, discouraged though, because you don't see anything that they advertised, I guess you want to say.
Right. Well, it's funny because at the last HauntCon, I actually did a workshop that was on marketing and ways to market on a budget, and make certain that you use your marketing as the beginning of your storytelling.
I don't know if you knew it. You did one, and then I also did one too, marketing on a budget. It was so funny because that's what I told Leonard. I said, why didn't you tell me somebody's already doing one? And he goes, well, but yours completely goes in a different way than what his does. And so it was so funny that we were both talking about the same thing, but just in different directions.
Well, and what's funny is we're talking, I call it looking at the same hand from both sides. You know, one of us was looking at the back, the other one was looking at the palm. But my guess is if people attended both of the seminars, they kind of got focused in the same direction, just kind of coming from a different angle.
And you guys didn't rip up each other's posters? Wow.
No, no, no. Honestly, yeah. I ain't got time for that.
Good.
Look, let me put it this way. If I could go to Transworld, back when I was working at Busch Gardens, if I can go to a Transworld show or a HauntCon show and schedule a time to sit down and have drinks with the Universal team, just to hang out and have a good time, there's absolutely no reason that anybody in any haunt should be ripping down each other's posters and not being there to help each other out. We are all in this together. It is ridiculous to have any sort of feud or petty jealousies. Come on, folks. We all do this together, and there's enough people out there who don't like what we do anyway. So why should we even contribute to that? That's ridiculous.
Yep, I totally agree. Couldn't have said it better, man.
Well, especially for the people that had the passion for it. And honestly, you can tell the ones who actually had the passion for it and love what we do, because we're not the ones out there ripping the signs and stuff down.
How does HauntCon help the average haunter? What would the benefit be for a mid to small-sized haunter versus a large to go to something like HauntCon?
Honestly, everybody can learn something. I learn something at every convention I go to. It may be something new, maybe something old. It may be a refresher. But, I mean, you know, to do a roundtable discussion like this is, to me, something that is more beneficial than just let people ask questions or throw things out there. Because, I mean, I'm sure me and Scott could probably talk for about 12 hours straight and go on and on and on about stories and history. You know, and, hey, with all of us on here, I'm sure we could all do that. So,
yep.
I mean, honestly, if you go to one of these and you don't learn something, and you weren't there to learn in the first place.
Not only the seminars and the roundtables, but even just the opportunity to sit down and chat with your fellow haunters. You know, the whole idea of learning from each other is just really, in my opinion, the best way to pick up what works and what doesn't. Like I said earlier, when you do your own haunt, you can only fix in the next season or in the next weekend. I mean, it's really hard to completely revamp based on the feedback that you got in your opening weekend. But this way, you get to talk to other people who've made similar mistakes or had similar successes. And, you know, just I learn just as much sitting around at the bar as I do in the seminars. I think it's really, really important with HauntCon, especially because it is a smaller, more intimate show. You get the opportunity to speak with people who have an incredible amount of haunt experience. You know, you mentioned earlier that we have over 100 years of haunt experience amongst the four of us. You multiply that exponentially when you go to something like HauntCon, because there are people there who have done it for, you know, even if it's just 2 or 3 years, they're still adding to that cumulative total. And the best way to learn is to just hang out with those folks. Yes, do the seminars, get a chance to see who you really like, and then find them later, because almost everybody is willing to sit down and talk to you, whether it's on a bus to go see another haunt or at the bar in the hotel. So I think that the personal connections that HauntCon offers is probably the most beneficial for me.
Yeah, and that's the reason we started going. When I first started going to them, and the atmosphere's kind of changed a little bit, but not much, and I'd love to see that atmosphere come back. But the people, we used to hang out in the bar and in the lobby and talk for till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I mean, you know, I can remember Texas, I think was the last year I went, and I mean, we were literally down there. And I believe we were supposed to be getting on the bus at like 8 o'clock the next morning to go somewhere, go do something. And I think it's like 4 or 5 a.m. And we were all going, oh, Jesus, we better go get there, like take a shower or something, you know, before we get up. I mean, it's just you can learn so much. Or like I said, even nothing else, you can hear the stories and you go, do you guys have this happen at your haunt? You know, and it's funny to hear the people that have different things that happen or the thing, you know, because every one of us has a different story or the same story but with a different twist. And I mean, it's just amazing over the years how many things in different cities, from Memphis to Chattanooga to Nashville, how different the crowd responds and different reactions based on the logistics of where you're at too, which I'm sure down in Tampa is a totally, if I went down there, I would probably have to learn a little different because a different group, different people, you know, in each area you go to.
That's right.
You guys are the ones sort of running and planning your haunts. Todd, I know you had actors, you had makeup people who taught seminars. How did they benefit from HauntCon?
We take our guys to Transworld and HauntCon. Transworld more so they can just get the, because Transworld's turned into what HauntCon used to be in a way at night, because everybody's hanging out in the lobby and doing the chit-chatting and getting together and the meet and greets and stuff, just to see all the big props and things that you can't see at the Haunt World, you know, or at HauntCon, I mean. But the thing is anybody can benefit from it, especially I noticed that it seems like a lot of the home haunters have, you know, latched on to HauntCon, even though Transworld, I guess, now is open to pretty much anybody as long as you got $50, which is something that is weird because I remember back in the day when Scott could probably remember, and you guys can remember when it was free, you know, and as long as you were a haunt buyer. And I almost wish it would go back to that because it's gotten so overcrowded that I go on Thursday and I leave Friday because, you know, I make all my buys in one day because it's just too crowded anymore. But going off, I know we're not supposed to be talking about Transworld, but HauntCon is that element of less people, and you can meet people and maybe find somebody who can help mentor you or give you advice or tell you don't even do it because you don't have a passion for it. I mean, because this is not an industry of, it's kind of like a movie maker. I mean, you're going to bleed it, you're going to live it, you're going to do 100 films before you finally make that one that knocks it out of the park where somebody actually recognizes who you are.
Yeah, well, I went to the HauntCon in Alabama. Me and my brother drove down there from Missouri, so it was about, I don't know, what was 12 hours. We stayed there for 3 days and came back. And that was the first HauntCon that I've been to. And I didn't know what to expect going into it, but I liked the intimacy of the crowds. And I got the hospitality suite up there. Met some friends there. And it was, the classes were smaller, more one-on-one. You can ask, you know, everybody was more open to questions. And I really had the education was, I couldn't decide which track to go, so I was just jumping around. I was just like maybe 10, 12 classes the whole time I was there, but I learned a lot. Now, Scott, you did an awesome job. But Todd, I don't think I got to go to yours, but
that's
next
all right.
Time, my friend, next time.
It's all right. Well, I don't mind. I tell people all the time, you know. His was probably better than mine anyway, so. well, see, my whole feeling is if you left with something good, I don't care whose seminar you went with, as long as you benefited from going to HauntCon. And I'll tell you, I think Leonard and Jeannie have a really good grasp as to what they think HauntCon should be. You know, we've all kind of said it's more intimate. People are more approachable, and the classes are smaller. No, you don't see the giant monsters, but that's a trade show. HauntCon isn't really a trade show. It's more a gathering of like-minded people who all have a passion for the same thing. And when they all come together, no matter what level you're at, whether you're, you know, just starting out or even have an interest of being an actor or someone who takes tickets at the front of a haunt, charity haunts, home haunters, professional haunters, they all kind of come together for the love of haunting. And I think that, you know, you mentioned the hospitality suites. I think that's brilliant. I mean, it's a way to just go in, kick back, hang out, and talk to people that you might not have ever had a chance to meet had you not come to that event. And I think the other key thing is the tours before it. The other reason I started doing it, and you know, back in the day was back when Rocky Point, it was the last year it was doing it, and HauntCon, we got to go tour it. And I'd never, ever gotten to see her show, and just to be able to fly out there to see the show and to see how great that show was, I mean, and what a loss that was to the industry, you know, from that. But, I mean, those are the things that I really enjoy about it, is because you do get to see, like, last year in Birmingham, I mean, I got to see some stuff that, you know, I mean, haunts and chicken houses. I mean, that, you know, in the haunted hay rides, which I haven't done in years, you know. And just the way they went about everything. And there was some great haunts on that tour. And I can't look forward to this year because National Nightmare, they put on an amazing show. That's something that you can't get by going to some of the other places, because since it does tour all over the country, you get to see different things, you know, in different haunts that you can't grasp. And it's amazing what you can take with you if you go to one of these haunts. It may just be one thing, but there's always something that somebody has done that you'll go, that was a great idea. We'll be right back.
outside. Do not draw attention to yourself from the inside. Do everything you can to fortify your forces to come in from local, state, regional, and federal authorities. We remind you to keep away at all costs. All vehicles are closed. Do not drive over the highway. They are closed. Use caution. Stay away and avoid contact.
Thank you for listening to Haunt Topic Radio. Please leave a comment wherever you found this podcast. Each comment you leave will help spread the word to other haunters around the world. See you next time. Do you want more Halloween haunted house and haunter goodness? Do you want the new episodes of Haunt Topic Radio delivered straight to your inbox? Do you want it all for free? Go to haunttopic.com/subscribe. Give us your email address and we will start sending you some treats without the tricks. Get your Halloween and haunted house fix at haunttopic.com/subscribe.